Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Things working fine. Give us a minute. All right, cool. Let us start. So, welcome to the September edition of Azure What's Brewing session. To introduce myself, I am Saurabh, and I work as a technical evangelist in Microsoft. This has been a last-minute change. I think the name of the speaker written on the website is Gandhali. However, I'll be taking the session today. So, let's start this session. All right, cool. So first of all, the Azure Big Compute team has announced the version 1.0 of the Batch Shipyard Toolkit, which enables to have an easy deployment of batch style Dockerized workloads to Azure Batch Compute pools. So for those of you who are not familiar with Azure Batch, they enable you to run parallel jobs in the cloud without having to manage the infrastructure. And mostly it's ideal for parametric suites, deep learning training, and simulations using MPI and InfiniBand. So yeah, this is the latest update coming in from the Big Compute team. The next thing that we have is Azure Stream Analytics support for IoT Hub operations monitoring. Now, I'll be giving a quick demo of this solution. I just built up a simple demo of this part. And all right, I'm getting a Q&A from an attendee that there is no audio. If there is problem with the audio for other people as well, please let me know. Please write it in the Q&A panel, and we'll have a look. Okay, otherwise I'll just continue. If there are problems with the audio, let me know. Okay. So if you're working with IoT solutions or you're interested in working in IoT solutions, you know that Microsoft has an offering called IoT Hub on Azure. And it's an endpoint in Azure which will listen to all the device data that you send to this hub, right? So anyways, all of you, I'm sure, even if you're not working with IoT solutions, you would have heard about the term IoT. You would have known what IoT is. And just to give you a quick overview, the Internet of Things, it's the way how you connect multiple devices to each other and try to generate data out of them. And what Azure does here is it gives you an endpoint to listen to these events, and it's built for scale. So whenever you're trying to build a solution in which you're trying to connect multiple devices and do analysis on top of them, you start utilizing Azure services like an IoT hub. And if you're looking for real-time streaming analysis, you use something called Stream Analytics, which does analysis on real-time data in which you take the input from IoT hub. And after that, you could simply do a simple remote monitoring solution. Say, for example, you just want to put up into a Power BI dashboard and see some charts, live readings. Or say, for example, if you want to get predictive maintenance out of it, you'd start utilizing something called machine learning. So we have something called Azure Machine Learning as well, in which you could start inputting lots of data, and once that happens, you start making predictions out of that data. All right. Okay, I'm seeing that in the Q&A panel that there is no issue with the audio, so I will continue. And in this offering, the latest update is that in IoT Hub, we have something called operations monitoring. Now, what it does is it enables you to monitor the status of operations on your IoT hub, and that too in real time. Now, and what are these operations? We in Azure, we divide it into five categories of events within IoT hub, and these are device identity. And I'll give you a brief description of all of them. You could even go back to the Azure website and check them out. But we have five categories of operations management in IoT Hub. Now, the word tells you itself. It's for operations monitoring. So these five things will be our device identity operations, in which you could track, say, events, errors that occur when you attempt to, say, create or, update some entry into the identity of the IoT Hub's identity registry. And it's usually useful for provisioning scenarios. And you could directly get a simple result out of it, say a JSON format, and in which it will tell you that, okay, this is the device ID, and this is the category. The category for this particular example will be device identity operations. And this is the error message, or this is some other message that I'm getting. Similarly, there are four more events categories in operations management. And the next one is device telemetry, which can let you know events, errors that occur at the IoT hub and are related to the telemetry pipeline. And what this could mean is, say for example, there is throttling, there's an issue of throttling while sending the telemetry events, or there is unauthorized reader when you're trying to receive telemetry events. These are the kind of examples that you could get in this category of operations monitoring. Similarly, there are three more. One is cloud to device commands, where you are able to see, say for example, if there's an unauthorized sender or something, and you want to get operations getting out of this command, you could directly utilize this, tell that within the operations monitoring in IoT Hub, I would like to choose this category and start monitoring on top of it. Okay. And similarly, we have connections as well as file uploads. Now, within this, everything is good. You're able to see that there is something going on. But now what the customers used to say to us is that you guys give Stream Analytics support for IoT Hub out of the box. Say, for example, whenever there's an event coming in from all these devices in the field to Azure, you ingest them into an IoT Hub. And once that ingestion takes place, you are able to have a Stream Analytics job running in which you give the input as an IoT Hub. And as soon as you start running that job, all the messages that come in to the IoT Hub, you could do real-time analytics on top of it. And if you know Stream Analytics, you would know that you can write SQL-like queries on top of it. So you could do joins and stuff like that and start doing real-time analytics. But when we had operations monitoring in IoT Hub, the next version for us was supporting Stream Analytics for operations monitoring. And hence, because the customers wanted to monitor the status of operations in real time, this is the new feature which we launched. And say, for example, you want to do something whenever there is an error, whenever, say, there is a device disconnect, let's consider an example. There are lots of farms across states, and you have an IoT solution in which you have multiple devices and sensors connected to these farms, and you want to take out the sensor readings which you have put in those devices, say for example humidity level, and you want to monitor them. And suddenly, if you start utilizing operations monitoring in IoT Hub, we want to know when a particular device has been connected to the IoT Hub or when it went off. Now, if it is a very important area for you and you want to always get the real-time monitoring, real-time reports of that particular farm, even if there is one device which is not able to send you data, you need to get that on your radar immediately. So in that example, what this solution now does is, this solution meaning the Stream Analytics support for IoT Hub, this solution will let you write a Stream Analytics job in which you would say that, okay, I have this device, the operations monitoring in my IoT Hub tells me that this device is disconnected, and I want to send, say, an SMS or do a call or send a notification or stuff like that to whoever is the relevant person. So with Stream Analytics and IoT Hub Operations Monitoring, what you do is you would write a simple Stream Analytics query, and within that you would specify that this is the example, and whenever this device turns off, the device ID is this, I want to put it into an output. Now within Stream Analytics, there's an output job, and there's a long list of output job syncs which you can use. And within that itself, you could directly use, say, something like a table as your tables, and then further integrated with, say, logic apps or Azure Functions, which can start, taking actions on top of it. Then you could then suddenly all your solution is dependent on how you utilize the services on Azure. And once that happens, you could start utilizing Twilio from Logic Apps, utilize the Twilio API to make a call to SMS and do all of those things. So lots of cool stuff can be done there. Okay. I'll just show you a quick demo. Just give me a minute. I'll start my screen share, so just give me a minute. It will start loading up on your screens. All right, I think it's visible now. Yes, I think it will be visible to you. If it is not visible, again, please type it in the Q&A window and we'll have someone respond to it. All right, so if you're working with IoT Hub, this will be a very familiar screen for you. Otherwise, I'll just give you a quick overview of what's happening here, okay? So this is an IoT hub in Azure. I've created it and given it a name called IoT Suite Demo. All right. And right here, I have two IoT hubs on the left, if you see Command Pattern and IoT Suite. Within this, there are a lot of things, but the part which I am interested, okay, if you look at the right part of the window, it will tell you that there are 311 messages out of 400K messages, which are sent today. Seven devices are connected to my IoT hub right now. And, various other stuff. What is my subscription name? What is my subscription ID? And stuff like that. Now, the part which I'm interested in is right there in this tab. So you would see it, there's something called overview, there's access control properties and stuff like that. But I'm interested in operations monitoring. So if you look at the window now, you would see that my mouse is right now sitting on operations monitoring. I'll just go ahead and click on that. And again, give it a few seconds because I know there's a lag in these webinars usually. So I click on operations monitoring, give a couple of seconds. And if everything is working fine, you should be able to now see in the right monitoring categories. And these are the five categories which I was talking about. Device identity operations, device to cloud communications, cloud to device communications, connections, and file uploads. If you want more information, you could read about them on the Azure portal as well on documentation. But I just gave you a quick overview of what these are. Now, if you do it by default, if you provision an IoT hub, all of them would be sitting on this none part in all these five categories. That is, by default, you have not switched on monitoring for either of these five categories. Okay, but for the purpose of the demo, I've switched on the verbose part of all these three. And the other settings here are monitoring settings, what is the event hub compatible name, and stuff like that. Now, if I switched on the operations monitoring category, I should be able to start seeing this stuff somewhere. Now, before this integration with Stream Analytics of operations monitoring, what we used to do is we could probably, use a Service Bus Explorer tool or use the SDK for Events Hub and start analyzing this real time whenever you run that stuff. But with Stream Analytics giving you the support out of the box, what we've done is we have written a simple query. Now I've just switched on to my tab, And now if it's visible to you, again, I'll give you a couple of seconds so that it loads for everybody. If it opens up right now, you'll see that there's a Stream Analytics job running, and the name of the job is IoT Hub Operations Monitoring. This is the name which I have given. And again, multiple things here, but the part which we are interested in is inputs, query, and outputs. All right. So my, it's running right now. So definitely I wouldn't be able to make any changes to the query, but I can at least show you the query. But before I do that, I would like to show you the inputs that I've given to the Stream Analytics job. Now, if you're not familiar with Stream Analytics job, it's a real-time processing engine in which you could, you know, run queries on real-time data and start putting it into beautiful outputs, say a Power BI dashboard or stuff like that. But it gives you this out of the box and it scales very well. So if you have even millions of events coming in, it's absolutely fine. Now, if you see at the right, now I have this tab open called Input Details, in which I've given all the settings that this is the IoT hub. And if you notice carefully, this is the same IoT hub which I had in the previous tab, because I want this to be integrated with my IoT hub, which has devices connected to it. And the endpoint here, instead of operations monitoring, there's also one thing called messaging. But because I'm interested for operations monitoring in my IoT hub, I'll choose the endpoint as operations monitoring. And this is what has this is what has come out as a recent support this past month. And within that, I have shared access policy name and policy key and other details, even serialization format. So I could look for JSON and I could go ahead and save this. So everything is ready. I'll now click on query. Absolutely fine. The pop-up, and within the query, if you look carefully, it says select. Again, I'll give you a couple of seconds for it to load. All right. So now if you look at the query, it says select device ID into output blob from input IoT hub. Now, the input name which I had given to this, the input alias which I had given while making the inputs is input IoT hub. And logically, this part will be the output sync for me. I've given it the name output, I've given it the alias output blob, and I will show you the details of this as well. But within this, the simple query is, wherever the operation name is device connect and the category is connections, select a device ID and put it somewhere. Now, before I show you the output, I want to show you what does this even mean. Operation name is device connect and category is connections. And for that, I've just opened another tab. Okay, I think it should be visible to all of you now. I told you about the five categories there, right? Now, this is the documentation page which I have opened up, Introduction to Operations Monitoring. I just want to show you this part, the Connections tab. Okay. And in the Connections category, you would directly see that, first of all, it tells you that it tracks errors that occur when devices connect or disconnect from an IoT hub. Now, what I'm trying to do is, I'm not trying to find errors, I'm trying to find those instances whenever that happens. But the JSON that it returns me is operation name is device connect and the category is connections. And this is exactly what I need in my Stream Analytics job, right? And hence, I write this part in my job that the operation name is device connect, category is connections, and I want to put it into an output blob. Now, what is the output blob? I'll just go back, close this, and I'll show you the outputs. So if you look at this carefully, right now it tells me that the output details, the name is output blob, and the subscription I've given that it should be a blob. And if you create a new Stream Analytics job, you will see there's a long list coming there. You could put it in a SQL database, for that example. You could put it in a table. You could put it in Events Hub again. You can put it in multiple other things. But I chose purposely a blob storage because I just wanted to have a quick demo and check out the end-to-end integration. So it will be stored in a CSV format. And the container, there will be a container called IoT Hub Operations Monitoring. in my storage account, and the storage account name is IoT Suite Demo. Now this is utilizing Azure Storage, all right? And the storage account name I've given here, and because it's the same subscription, I did not need to go ahead and copy paste the storage account key from there. It was able to find that out directly for me. And again, nothing else, event serialization format, and I go ahead and click on save. So it should start showing me, whenever I run this job, it should start getting data into this output blob whenever there is an event which happens in the query, which it says. But the query said that it has to be an operation name of device connect and the category of connections. Now, if I check out my device explorer here, all right, so this is a utility for my IoT hub in which I'm able to see all the 7 devices. So earlier the IoT hub said that it had 7 devices, but right now I'm interested in only one because I want to do the demo with this one, and it says simulated device 01. Now, I don't have a Raspberry Pi or any other IoT device with me right now, so I made a simulated application which is able to send data to an IoT hub, and I will show you that as well. But before that, I want to check this out, that this is the Azure Storage Explorer and the same container that it said, IoT Hub Operations Monitoring. This is the container name and the same storage account name which I had. So within this, there's already one JSON file, if you look at it carefully. I'm sorry if I said CSV before, it's JSON format. And within JSON, if I open this, now all of this is in cloud. This tool is just a way to connect to cloud and see what's going on. So if you look at my other blob containers, you check out that all of these are blob containers and storage accounts within my Azure account. So this is the IoT Suite demo. This is the storage account name. Within that, I have blobs. I have file shares, queues, tables. Actually, I don't have them any, but I can make them and see it right there. And within it, I have a container called IoT Hub Operations Monitoring. And if I just click on this JSON file, it says you want to open it. I say yes. And as soon as I do that, it opens up Visual Studio Code. Because it has my default way of opening JSON files through Visual Studio Code. And these are the 5 lines of entries within this JSON format, within this JSON file. And again, if you would have seen my Stream Analytics job, it had just selecting the device ID, that's it. So it's a very simple demo, but you could again scale it up, write multiple queries, write complex queries, and start utilizing this. But right now it has 5 entries. Now I have a job running. I have a simulated IoT hub program running here. So I will just go ahead and click on start. All right, I'll give it a couple of seconds. And if you look at this now, it starts sending data to my IoT hub. Okay, good enough. And even if you want to check that out that it is receiving data, I can go back to my Device Explorer, go to my Data tab. And since I'm monitoring this data already, you see that this entries come in here directly, 324, 40 p.m., 41. So this is real-time data coming in. All right? So I'm sending this data to my IoT hub. So this is a real demo going on, and I'll just close this, and I'll close this application as well. Now, as soon as I do that, since my job is running, and if everything goes well, within a couple of seconds, this should start pushing another JSON entry into my JSON file, which is stored in my Azure storage. Because I had said select device ID, and the device ID was simulated device. Device ID was my first device. This was a device ID. And if I now go back to my Azure storage and I refresh this, first of all, you look the time change. So that's a positive thing for me, that my demo may just work absolutely fine. I click on this. Now you would have guessed it all right. What should happen here? Instead of earlier, I think it was 5 or 4. there should be another entry and it should start showing up. So let's check out Visual Studio Code again. And yes, we have that. We have six entries now. And if you would have noticed carefully, I think there were five earlier. So now you're getting real life, real time reading into a blob storage, running Stream Analytics job, using IoT Hub, using Azure Storage Operations Monitoring from IoT Hub, working absolutely fine. So yes, this works really well. So if you're looking to use IoT solutions, this is another very important stuff because you may want to take immediate actions based on the results coming in from operations monitoring. Say this is an example in which the device got connected and disconnected again. I want to see whenever that's happening because that operations monitoring event got fired whenever that thing took place. And if you just want to find out what was the simulation program all about, nothing very complicated. This is a C# code. I'm utilizing this new JSON. I'm utilizing this NuGet package. Within that, I have given my string URI, the device key, and this is the device which I created. I could create a device from multiple sources, but for the demo, I created it from my device explorer, in which you could go to the management tab and click on create and start creating a device. Get the device ID from here. And this is the JSON part that I'm sending, device ID, UNSpeed. And I'm using already newtonsoft.json to convert it into a JSON format and send this directly. And the data which you were seeing on the console, it's just a simple write line, which is telling me the date, the time right now, and the message string. All right. So this was a cool demo. I had fun doing this. Now I'll go back to the slides and try to cover up the other stuff within the simulated time. All right, I got a question from someone that what kind of seven devices are connected? Ravi, right now it's again a simulated environment because I want to show from the console application how it's running. But otherwise, I have Raspberry Pis with me. I have, that is the main device which I use to send it to cloud. But otherwise, any other device that is capable of connecting to internet and you're able to say do a HTTP, call an HTTP REST API. Or the best part is if that is able to support the Azure IoT Hub SDKs, nothing like that. So you could connect these seven devices and start pushing it to cloud. Right now, I'm just using a simulated environment. And if you look at the seven devices within there itself, I'll tell you the name. So it has sample device 0, 1, 2, 3. So in effect, I was utilizing something called an IoT suite, Azure IoT suite, in which I get these four simulated devices out of the box. So if you go to azureiotsuite.com, AzureIoTSUITE.com. You could directly provision a quick getting started solution and start seeing them. In that, you get some devices, simulated devices running already. Okay, I'll go on with my presentation now. And all right. So next part is that Microsoft Azure Germany is now available. In Europe, and this is a little different than the usual ones because it's a first of its kind model which is developed basis the customer requirements coming in. So this may be useful for you if you have customers there and you're looking to provision solutions there. There are cloud services already available across Europe, but the new part here is that the customer data in these data centers, and now they're in two places. One is in Frankfurt, one is in Magdeburg, and they're managed, the data in these data centers is managed under the control of a data trustee. And this is, the data trustee is T-Systems International, an independent German company and subsidiary of Deutsche Telekom. And the Microsoft's cloud services in these data centers, they are adhering to all the German data handling regulations, and hence they are moreover is just giving customers more choices of how and where this data is processed. So with this new offering as well, we have increased our Azure regions. We have a number of regions. I think it's more than 30 now, And it's to be honest, I think it's more than any other cloud provider as well. So again, Microsoft is continuing its investment in building these data centers and making them scalable, secure, and building the cloud infrastructure. So if you have customers in Germany, this may be a good point for you. All right. So the next part is, Azure Mobile Apps Node SDK version 3.0.0. This is the next version of the Azure Mobile Apps Node.js Server SDK. And one of the great features within the Server SDK was the ability to provide, say, security filtering and record transformation at the server level. And with this release, we further refine the points to allow manipulating the query, the incoming queries and the items. And you could, after each data operation, you could start triggering a new functionality. And you can, of course, continue and do create and distribute your own filters, transforms, and hooks. However, this includes a new set of filters that reduce the amount of code you need to write. So we have per user tables, webhooks, record expiry, and there are multiple other improvements in this SDK. So the things which you see on the slide, data transforms, filters, hooks, data query improvements, there is an option now of handling callbacks and table functions. So all these things are possible now. I will go on to the next part now. And this is real-time alert from Azure CDN. Now I have a demo for this as well, and I will try to wrap this demo up quickly. I think the last one took a lot of time, but I guess it was fun for all of you. So I will just try to wrap up this demo as well, real-time alert from Azure CDN. So if you know about CDN offerings on Azure, you know there's something called Azure CDN, and within Azure CDN there's a premium offering. Within that, you could now set up real-time alerts to get notified on, say, anomalies such as bandwidth issues or status of the cache, or if there are multiple concurrent connections and you want to set up a threshold that I want, this is the maximum level of connection that I want. So all of these things. And overall, it gives you a continuous monitoring of the health of your CDN service. Now I will just go back and share my screen again. Just give me a minute. I give it a couple of seconds so that it loads for everybody. All right, I think it's loaded already. So now again, I'm back in the Azure portal, and if you check this out, I'm in my CDN. I've given it a name called Vidyapeeth CDN, and within this, I have gone ahead and clicked on Manage, and well, this loads up. I already had that tab open, so I'll not send another request. But within this, the Manage portal, there's a tab at the top called the Analytics tab, and within this there are multiple offerings, but the part which we are interested in is real-time alerts. Now you go to real-time stats and go to real-time alerts. This is the new part which has come in, and for Azure CDN, if I click on this is the page that it opens, where it first of all, this checkbox alert enabled is not ticked mark by default. So I just put a tick mark against it. I've given it a name, test CDN alert. And within this, now, first of all, if you're in the CDN and If you look at the pricing tier, this part, this feature has come in the premium version right now. And within that version, there are three versions, pricing tiers of CDN. This is coming in the premium version right now. And within this, if you have, I've given it a name, the alert, and within this, I've chosen HTTP large object. This is the currently supported format for my alerts right now. And the expression, it's getting too easy right now to handle CDN here, right? For alerts specifically. Because right now, if I click on this tab again, you would see that there is total connections, there is a lot of things. I'll just show you all. These are all the things which are coming up. Bandwidth Mbps, cache status, total hits per second, none per second, bandwidth Mbps. I'll give you a couple of seconds to just have a look at all of these. All right. So lots of expressions which you could use here directly, and without writing any piece of code itself, you could just select total connections, use the operator, any of these six operators. I've chosen greater than one, and definitely this is my demo because I just want to quickly do a quick thing, hence I written it is greater than one total connections. And at an interval of every 1 minute, notify on condition start or end or other options. And what is the action that I want to take? I can either notify by email or if I just take this down, I can notify by HTTP post. These are the two things which I have right now. And if you look at my screen, notify by email is tick marked. And I'll just here I've given the here my email ID. And this is the email ID if you want to reach out to mediator as well. But I've given my email ID here, and the subject will be this, the alert condition is this. And just to check if everything is working fine, I had clicked on test notification. Now, as soon as I click that, it will send me a notification. And I'll not wait for a minute or while the email is coming back. I already got that sometime back. I'll show you that email which comes in from this service. And this is the email that I get. That and this is a test email, so the condition has actually not been detected yet. This is how you would get a real-time alert for Azure CDN, right? The other condition is total connection is one, current value is this, alert is generated on condition start. So whenever this condition got started, I got an alert immediately. The alert condition has been present for the past these many minutes. So this is a test notification. This is giving me all these details. But otherwise, this will happen on a real time basis when that event gets fired. All right. So I'll stop my screen share again, go back to the slides. And again, I'll give it a couple of seconds for everybody so that it loads. Okay, we'll go on to the next slide. And that is refreshing user logins in app service. So this feature is available only for server managed in authentication flow. And given the balance between security and an app's possible inactivity during the weekend, refresh tokens can be obtained as long as the mobile app's authentication token is not expired for more than 72 hours. So this feature, the app services authentication authorization feature, has already made app authentication extremely simple. But still, token expiry and refresh can be a hassle, and hence there's an update which is coming in for refreshing user logins in app service mobile apps. And to simplify this, we baked in auth 2.0's refresh token into the client SDKs, which we have already for authentication authorization. And just check out the client SDK, the Azure Mobile Apps client SDK, and check out the documentation and have a look. This is a new update which has come in for user logins in app service mobile apps. Okay. So the next part is update 3.0 for Store Simple 8000 series has come out. And now this release, it has improved read and write performance to the cloud. And what it does is, hence it will result in faster backups, reading of tiered data from cloud, or reading or restoring data post, say, a failover during a disaster recovery. Whenever a disaster recovery operation happens, you could have a reading and restoring post data failover. Okay, and it enables the standby controller on the 8000 series physical appliance to perform space reclamation and ensure active control resources. Moreover, there have been improvements in the monitoring charts, which are available in the management service for Store Simple. So if you're using Store Simple, this is a good update which is coming for you. And check this out. Then I'll go on to the next one. This is a public preview which has come out, and this is that Azure Event Hubs Archive is now providing efficient micro batch processing. There are lots of benefits of Event Hub Archive, right? So it gives you things like a simple setup. That's kind of the first part, where it's extremely straightforward for you to configure Event Hubs to take advantage of this feature. And since Event Hubs handles all the management, there's not a lot of overhead which is involved in setting up your custom job processing mechanisms and tracking them. So it gives you overall a reduced cost of ownership. And it's cohesive with your Azure storage. By just choosing your Azure storage account, Archive pulls the data from Events Hub to your containers. And again, it's near real-time batch analytics, where archiving data is available within minutes of ingress into the Events Hub. And this enables most common scenarios of near real-time analytics without having to construct separate data pipelines. And hence, this Event Hub's archive is now giving efficient micro-batch processing information. And if you look at the slides as well, Event Hub's archive addresses these important requirements by archiving the data directly from Events Hub to Azure Storage as blobs, and hence the cohesivity with Azure Storage directly. All right. I'll go to the next one. Service Fabric. I'm sure some of you would be working on this as well. And this is a big update coming in, right? So, first of all, just to give you an overview, there are a number of trends coming in, and one of them is microservices architecture, right? Microservices. And for those who don't know, microservices enable developers to create applications using independent single purpose, but multiple of these services. Now again, single purpose, independent, and multiple of these services to provide a scalable way to build cloud applications, right? Now, Service Fabric is the thing which you see on the slide. Service Fabric is Microsoft's microservices application platform, and this was released last year to help developers build and manage cloud applications. But to be honest, this has been battle-hardened. It has been used internally at Microsoft for almost a decade now. And Service Fabric has been powering scalable services, and I'm sure you guys would have heard of these services. They are a little popular. So if you would be familiar with these terms, Cortana, Azure SQL Database, Azure Document DB, Azure Infrastructure itself, or Intune. So all these services have already been powered by Service Fabric. And since our GA, this was made GA at Build 2016, so March, April, this was made GA, we've got tremendous, tremendous response from the customers. It's going through a great momentum right now. And customers like BMW, Bentley Systems, Assurant, all of these are giving tremendous response to Service Fabric. Now, given its beginnings, so Service Fabric supports Windows servers and .NET applications, but many enterprises today have heterogeneous workloads, right? So you may have a Windows server, a Linux server, you may have a .NET application as well as a Java application. If you're looking in databases, you may have SQL as well as NoSQL databases. And hence, this news makes much more sense that the preview of Service Fabric for Linux is now publicly available. So, and I think this was made available during the Microsoft Ignite conference, which is going on right now. And so September 26th, that is yesterday, the Microsoft Ignite conference got kicked in. So if you guys want to get the latest updates from Microsoft, I mean, latest as in real-time updates, where whatever they're announcing, you want to know immediately, check out Microsoft Ignite. You could check all the news and stuff online as well. Just search for Microsoft Ignite, and you'll be able to see that. So, but with this announcement which came in, the customers can now provision Service Fabric clusters in Azure with the host operating system as Linux. And say, for example, deploy a Java application to Service Fabric Fabric clusters. And initially, it will be available for Ubuntu, but support for RHEL, Red Hat, is coming real soon. And in addition, with the command line interface, Eclipse, and Jenkins support, developers can use the tools that they know already to build and deploy on Service Fabric on Linux. And just as you had it on Windows, developers can build and test Service Fabric on a one-box setup, which means that you don't need a cluster in Azure to build and test your Service Fabric app. And hence, this is an important update coming in. So check this out. And this, in fact, took us to the Microsoft Ignite conference. So if you want to check that out as well, feel free to go online, search for Microsoft Ignite, and you'll get the latest updates coming in, right? We'll go to the next slide. So this is for data at rest, storage service encryption for data at rest. And for Azure, storage service encryption for Azure Blob Storage, it helps you address organizational security and compliance requirements by encrypting your blob storage, be it append blobs, page blobs, block blobs, the three categories of blobs that we have. And this is the update that the storage service encryption has been made GA. And you can enable this feature on any ARM storage account, Azure Resource Manager storage account, by using, say, a portal or a CLI or the PowerShell or the Microsoft Azure Storage Resource Provider API, the APIs that we have, right? So this handles, Microsoft Storage already handles all the encryption, decryption, and key management in a totally transparent fashion. And all data is encrypted using the 256-bit AES encryption. Also known as AES-256, one of the strongest block ciphers available. And customers can already enable this feature on all available redundancy types of Azure storage. And hence, this is an important update which is useful for Azure storage blobs. Azure storage, that storage service encryption has now been generally available, has now been made generally available. All right, the next one, enterprise level policy management for Azure VM backup in Recovery Services Vault. So with Recovery Services Vault, customers can backup Classic as well as Resource Manager virtual machines. So earlier we used to have this thing called Classic VMs, right? But gradually now people have started using more and more of ARM-based virtual machines. And with Recovery Services Vault, the thing which we are talking about right now, customers can backup these VMs using their own backup, custom-defined backup policies. But now we're adding the capability for customers to manage backup policies and model them for whatever the changes that they want to have from a single window, and hence making Azure Backup an enterprise level backup solution for Azure VMs. Now with this part, Azure Backup provides a lot of things. I'll just go through the list quickly. It gives you the ability to view backup policies in a Recovery Services Vault from a single window. It gives you the ability to add a new policy from a policy list view. And similarly, edit a backup policy. It enables you to add items to a backup policy, say add more virtual machines to an existing backup policy, and get a view of the virtual machines which are protected with this policy. Delete a backup policy which is no longer in use. So again, this is just a list which I read out. And here are all the services which are coming in from backup. All right, next part. Now, Microsoft Azure now available from UK data centers as well. And Microsoft is one of the first, is the first actually the first global provider to deliver the cloud from offerings from data centers in the UK. And now it's giving Microsoft Azure along with Office 365 our cloud offering from multiple UK data center locations, providing data residency to help enable digital transformation of our customers in industries such as banking, government, public sector, and healthcare. So if you have customers in UK, you want to host somewhere, something there, this is the good news, which is relevant for you, right? I'll go on to the next part. And that is improved automatic tuning boosts your Azure SQL database performance. Now, so all the people who are working on Azure SQL databases, this is an important update for you, where we release an exciting update. So it's not today, but yeah, we release an exciting update to Azure SQL Database Advisor. So I think in the slide it's marked blue, so it may just not be very clear. But today we release an exciting update to Azure SQL Database Advisor that greatly reduces the time, and that too from a week to a day. So it's a major, major improvement required to produce and implement index tuning recommendations. Now, Database Advisor provides custom performance tuning recommendations for your databases. So again, I'll repeat, for those who don't know, Database Advisor provides custom performance tuning recommendations for your databases, and it uses machine learning intelligence at the back end. And hence it saves you time automatically tuning your database performance, and hence you could just focus on building great applications. Database Advisor continuously monitors your database usage and provides recommendations to improve performance. Say, for example, create indexes, drop indexes, and more. And this brings us one step closer to our vision. So you could read it on the slides as well, where developers have to no longer worry about this physical schema management, as the system is self-optimized. We're using machine learning intelligence in the backend to provide predictable and optimal performance for database application, right? So again, powerful PaaS offering, so that you guys can now just focus on building powerful apps. And that's actually the case with the PaaS offerings that we have on Microsoft Azure, right? Whenever we are building a solution, we think of the developer always, that what is this, what is that next feature, what is the next optimization that we should push to all these products, so that developers can just focus on building amazing applications which are relevant for them, for their clients, which are probably changing the world. And with this, minor updates, which you see, actually not minor, with these updates coming into all these PaaS offerings, they're just reducing the hard work that they had to use, because the PaaS offerings are already getting managed by Microsoft, right? These are managed services. And then this is an important offering coming in. So with that, I think I'm almost done. Yes, again, we are reiterating, updates are available at azure.microsoft.com. If you want to check out the blog, it's available at azure.microsoft.com/blog. Check out Microsoft Ignite. That is going on right now. You may want to see that. And yes, these are my coordinates. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, if you want to give me feedback there, feel free. This is my handle @ my name, Saurabh Kirtani. If you want to shoot out an email to me, I'm available at saurabh.kirtani@microsoft.com. So yeah, thank you so much. I had a wonderful time delivering this webinar. And feel free to join us again for multiple other webinars that we keep on holding. And feel free to give us any feedback that you have. We'll be happy to take that. With that, thank you so much. I will give back 5 minutes to you. And if you have any questions, feel free to put it in the Q&A panel. I'll be here for a couple of minutes more. But otherwise, thank you so much. Yeah, bye.